today as we come to the table.
When they see that I'm set holy, that there's a God of Israel, they're going to know that I'm real. Look what God's doing. He's not only going to intervene and defend the nation of Israel. He says, look, the time is near to me coming back. There's not going to be a whole lot of time for people to repent. And there's only going to be who knows how much time between this battle and the rapture. There may be a lapse between this battle and the rapture. They may not happen at the same time. But the point is this, you better be ready. And if you're going to get into heaven, now's the time to move. God is going to reveal himself to the entire world in such a mighty way, they can't deny that it's God, so that everybody on the planet will have an opportunity to turn to Jesus Christ and be saved before God's final judgment. Is that a God of grace or what?
Are you ready for Jesus to return? God says we can't know the day and the hour when he will return, but he is clear that we should be ready. God doesn't want anyone to perish. So as the day approaches, he will make his existence abundantly clear. He wants everyone to know him and have a chance to put their faith in him. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In his message today, Pastor Mark will challenge you to be prepared for the return of Jesus. Repent and give your life to him. You may be ready for his return, and you're wondering why Jesus hasn't come already. God is a gracious God who wants to give his children every opportunity to return and follow him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 as he continues his message, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel.
He says, notice this, I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, your horses, your horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And notice who's with them. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Gomer from the far north, and all their troops, many are with you. Now, again, we need some modern translation. Persia is modern-day Iran. Ethiopia, the word literally is the word Cush. I don't think it's necessarily Ethiopia. I think it's going to be Sudan. It's speaking of a region. Ethiopia right now is not an enemy of Israel. Sudan is. And so I think it's going to be, here you're going to see Iran, Sudan, Libya, still today. And by the way, we already know that Iran is very involved. They're the ones funding Hezbollah and the Hamas. We talked about that. They're the ones threatening Israel right now, coming in and battle this giant earthquake they're going to bring, they say, when they come in or whatever. Libya is now involved. There's already been some strikes in Libya by Israeli military because of probably weapons transfers. We don't know exactly the reason. Be watching for Sudan. When you watch your news, they've not gotten actively involved yet, but they're going to be another major player. They're the only one out of the five that is not actively, truly, just openly involved right now. The other one is Togarmah, which is Turkey. Gomer and Togarmah, that's Turkey. I don't know if you saw the news, the major, major national rally for Hamas and against Israel in Turkey yesterday, and the numbers were astounding. You should have seen how many people. Again, I see what's happening over there, what's happening in our streets, what's happening over in London. They had over 100,000 people blocking off London Bridge. It looks so full of people. I thought, man, that thing, you talk about London Bridge falling down. That could be a time that it could fall, right? The bottom line is, though, that's where they are. And the whole world, it seems to be, is being affected by this hatred of the nation of Israel. He says all these nations are going to be coming together to attack Israel and to do away with them. And so everything's in place that needs to happen. We just have to watch and see if this is going to be it or if there's going to be some delay. Again, this could just be a major contraction. The Lord said the last days would be like a woman in birth pangs. Could be a major contraction. It may die back down and then come back again when America is not in the Mediterranean with its aircraft carriers, or whatever the case might be. But look at verse 7. He says, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. That is Russia. You be a guard for all these other nations. Russia right now is a guard for all those nations. They're the most powerful military of all five of those, and they're protecting them. They're working with them hand in hand. They're supplying their supplies. As a matter of fact, in Hamas, they have now found Russian weapons. They've found Iranian weapons. And they're saying they hadn't said where the other weapons are from. They also found a cache of weapons that came from the supplies nations were giving to Ukraine. So somehow the weapons that are being sent to Ukraine by some nations is making its way down to Hamas in the Gaza Strip. It says, verse 8, after many days, you will be visited. And notice this, in the latter years. Remember prophetically, there's last days and there's latter days. Consistently throughout the Bible, it's what theologians call expositional constancy. If you're into hermeneutics, it means that God uses the same language throughout the Bible. Last days is always and only used of the time Jesus died from the cross 2,000 years ago, all the way to the end. Latter days, and you say, well, that's 2,000 years. Well, not to God, that's nothing, right? That is last days. Latter days is speaking of the very, very end. It's talking about the great tribulation, the second coming. That's the timing that you'll always find the word used latter here. And so notice what he says, in the latter, that is in the days of the rapture, in the days of the final 7 years, in the days of the second coming, you will come into a land of those brought back from the sword, that is the nation of Israel, and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. Yeah, 2,000 years. And they were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Now again, some people read this and say, well, they don't dwell safely. All their enemies hate them. No, it doesn't mean that they never have any problems. There's never a nation that has not had the possibility of war or the possibility of attacks. That has never existed. So if that was what he meant by this, that would mean there would never be a nation that could dwell safely. What this means is they're dwelling safely in the sense of they now have their own country and their own military, and they're able to protect themselves. That's what it means, they dwell safely. So don't let that confuse you. He says, Russia, you will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. So these five nations, as well as all the other radical Muslims that want to wipe Israel out, will be gathering there on the northern border of Israel, coming in. Thus says the Lord God, on that day, it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You're going to actually think you can overtake my people and defeat me. You can't. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. Now, this is interesting because when Ezekiel wrote this, all of the villages had walls. You had to. Even though they had a military for the nation, they didn't have a military that could mobilize the way they do today and like we do. So every village, you had your own wall around it because local marauders would come in and kill your people and attack them. And he's saying, whatever this is, it's going to be a time when all those walls are gone. Ezekiel's probably going, what are you talking about? We've never had a time in our history where there weren't walls. So he didn't even understand what he was prophesying. And the Bible says oftentimes they would prophesy and didn't even know what they were prophesying. But again, here he says, it's going to be a time of unwalled villages. That's today. If you go to Israel today, they don't have walls around their cities. They don't need them. Jerusalem has the ancient wall simply because it's always stood as a figurehead or whatever, not really for protection, but just a figurehead. But all the others, they don't have walls around them. He says, in this day, when it happens, it's going to be a time of unwalled villages, just like 2023. He says, I will go to a peaceful people. That is, they're not at war. They're at war now, but the point is they themselves are able to live in peace, who dwell safely, again, knowing the nations will be attacking them, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, and you're coming to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. That is, the Jews have come back to the land. They've re-inhabited it. And against a people gathered from the nations. Again, remember, God brought them back from all the nations, back to the land starting in 1948, who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say, well, have you come to take plunder? That it's to Russia and all these armies? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Are you coming for the gas and the oil and their gold and their diamonds? Because they deal a lot of diamonds there in Israel. Are you coming to take all the reward from war? What are you doing? Now, this is an interesting picture because who's Sheba and Dedan? This is modern day Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is going to be saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But they're not going to be participating in the battle. Again, showing they're not a part of it. Saudi Arabia right now, they don't hate Israel like they have in the past. They were about to make a peace treaty with Israel until this war broke out. So there's kind of a softening and relationship being built with Saudi Arabia. Then he talks about Tarshish. That is ancient Spain, that region of Europe, and the young lions. From that, Britain came, and some believe possibly even America's mentioned here as the young lions. We don't know. But even if it is us, what the others are saying in Europe, and if America is spoken of here, what we're saying is, why are you doing this? Leave them alone. But we're not doing anything. And they're not doing anything. Again, remember, Israel will be on their own. And why would God have Israel on their own? So that God can show them, I am your only hope. Samson, it wasn't your strength, it was my strength. And I'm the one doing this. You're going to feel that you're going to be defeated. You're going to be left by everyone until I intervene in a supernatural way. And you're going to be so blown away by my power and care for you, you're going to turn to me as a nation once again. And that's going to usher in, I think, the rapture of the church and the Antichrist and all these other things that are going to take place. But notice what he says here, verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, On that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come up from your place out of the far north. Again, if you go to Jerusalem and go straight up your map, you'll see that directly above is Moscow. You and all your peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. And you say, riding on horses, what's that about? Did you know that Russia has the largest horse cavalry army in the world? Currently today, they have a massive cavalry horse-ridden army. Why? Now, they have other armaments as well, but why? They live around mountains, and when they do battle in the mountains, they can't take their tanks up in there. They had to train up men who ride horses and do war on battles, so they are very much a horse-driven army in Russia. And it's interesting, as it talks about it, it's still very applicable and very modern day. He says, you will come up against my people like a cloud to cover the land. And when I'm seeing all these masses of people, again, try to imagine, it's not just going to be these five nations, but everybody who hates Israel is going to be gathering on that border. And there's a lot of people who do. And a lot of radical Islam is going to be gathering there. And notice what it says. He says, it will be again in the latter days. That's it, toward the very end, that this is going to happen. Notice that I will bring you against my land. He says, I'm going to be gathering you. It's not going to be you doing it because you think. He says, I'll be gathering you. Why? God is going to be gathering them for judgment. There's two times God says he's going to gather them for judgment here and then at Armageddon. He says he's going to gather them for judgment as well. Again, very different battle than Armageddon. We don't have time to talk about the details of that, but do your own study. You'll see the qualifications are very different. But he's going to gather armies both times, and he says, I'm doing this. Why? Because I'm going to judge you for coming against my people Israel. And I'm going to show at the same time that I am God. Notice what it says here. He says, I'll bring you against my land so that. I have it underlined and that circled. Here's why God is doing it, guys. Note this. I'm going to do this so that. Gather you so that the nations may know me when I'm hallowed in you. When they see that I'm set holy, that there's a God of Israel, they're going to know that I'm real. Look what God's doing. He's not only going to intervene and defend the nation of Israel. He says, look, the time is near to me coming back. There's not going to be a whole lot of time for people to repent. And there's only going to be who knows how much time between this battle and the rapture. There may be a lapse between this battle and the rapture. They may not happen at the same time. But the point is this, you better be ready. And if you're going to get into heaven, now's the time to move. God is going to reveal himself to the entire world in such a mighty way, they can't deny that it's God, so that everybody on the planet will have an opportunity to turn to Jesus Christ and be saved before God's final judgment. Is that a God of grace or what? That's exactly what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to do this that the nations may know me. And there's going to be people all over the world that are going to have their jaw dropped when this takes place. They're going to say, something supernatural happened here. I'm not going to give my life maybe to God or Jesus Christ, but something happened here that was out of the ordinary. Because notice what he says. I'm going to do this where they're going to hallow me, O God, before their eyes. Verse 17, thus says the Lord God, are you of he whom I've spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in years of those days that I would bring against them? In other words, yes, you are. It's a rhetorical question. You're the one I prophesied about, God. It's your armies that I prophesied that I'm going to gather against Jerusalem and I'm going to wipe you out because of defending my nation of Israel. Notice what he says. It will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Now look, God is a God of love. God is a God of grace. God is a God of forgiveness. We all know that, or none of us would be here and be saved. That is his character. That is who he is. But when people rebel against him and reject him at a certain point where they just simply turn away and they turn evil, God says, now I will be your judge in fury, and I will be your judge in wrath. And look what the Lord is saying is. He's saying, look, I've watched the world attack Israel and the Jews for thousands of years. I've now watched their enemies come across their border and torture their women and their children and brutalize them. And when they defended themselves, I've watched the world now attack them. He says, I'm over it. I'm over it. His fury is going to come in his face and he's going to say, enough. Now you're going to see who stands with who. And now you're going to see who God is backing and who God is not backing. His fury will come up in his face. Again, he's jealous for the nation of Israel and the promises that he made to them. And in the fire of my wrath I've spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Now, he's going to describe this earthquake. It is going to be massive. It would appear possibly this earthquake is going to be so strong that it's felt around the world. It's interesting to me, Iran was saying, you know, if we have to get involved in this battle, we're going to come in like an earthquake. And I'm thinking, no, you're going to come in with one. And you're going to be shocked at the power of God Almighty. Guys, the world's about to see our God do something unbelievably amazing. And they're not going to be able to deny that it's him. And so He says they're going to come in like an earthquake. Look at this. So that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, the creeping things that creep on the earth, all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. So that's where it appeals again. Could just be the face of the earth in that region, but it could be literally the face of the earth are going to shake at this mighty earthquake. Notice this. The mountains shall be thrown down. There's going to be some mountains in that region that collapse. It is so powerful. The steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. You know, when I read that, I never thought about it till recently, but maybe even the walls of Jerusalem come down in this. And if it does, think about this. What a way for the Antichrist to enter the scene. Right now, what's holding everything back, there's two things that are holding the Antichrist back from really being able to take the world over where everyone would go along. Number one, you guys, and number two, radical Islam. You would never bow down to him. You're believers. If you're still here, look, I know we talk about when the rapture is going to take place. I know that's not a salvation issue, but let me say this. If we're still here when the Antichrist comes into power, if we don't leave before that takes place and we're still here, every one of us are going to be shouting at the top of our lungs, that's him, that's him, stay away. This is the bad guy, stay away, do not follow him. And so I don't think it's possible that we're here. Even apart from that, we're going to be a problem. We would be a massive problem. And here's the thing, the Bible says the first 3.5 years, that final 7 years, there's peace. There's peace. They're not beheading people. They're not killing people. Listen, if we're here during that time and we're pointing at him saying, you're evil, you're of the devil, you're this, there wouldn't be peace. We have to be gone. I think that'll happen prior to him coming in and establishing that final 7 years, and we're out of here. So first, we've got to be gone. That'll happen with the rapture of the church, okay? Guess who else is not going to allow the Antichrist without a great trouble to rule and reign the world? Radical Islam. Why? Because they're not going to bow to anybody except a Muslim who takes the entire world over and, again, makes the world Muslim. The Bible doesn't say that's going to happen. So the reality is, radical Islam has to be gone and the church has to be gone. The church will be gone in the rapture, which will be sometime around this battle. Radical Islam in the Middle East, the majority of it's all going to be gathered there at Jerusalem coming against Israel. And the Bible says God's going to wipe them out in this battle. Guess what that does? That paves a way for this world leader to step on the scene with very little opposition. And the world who just saw this major war take place and say, you know what? I have peace. I have an idea. Now we can finally sing We Are the World like Michael Jackson wanted to do. Or whatever, you know, and we kind of, right? And so as a world, we now come together and do this thing, right? You have to lighten it up some, don't you? It starts getting heavy. But the world's going to be ready to come together. They're going to be ready to follow this guy. They're going to be ready to say, you're the one. We're here with you, whatever. And I believe it's all going to take place right around this battle. And he says, the whole world's going to know that it's me. You say, well, how would the world follow the Antichrist if they know that it's God? Remember, they're going to recognize that God did this, but the Antichrist isn't going to come on the scene right away and say, I'm God. He's going to say, you know, we all need to come together, guys. Radical Islam has been dealt with. The Christians, well, I don't know where they went, but they're not really, you know, those that are here, the ones that are left behind, they're not really saying anything. So they're not a problem. So why don't we form this whole thing? I'll sign a peace treaty with Israel and the rest of the nations, and let's all get along. And that's how this thing's, at some point, this is going to be the process. This thing kicks in and follows here. And notice what it says. He says, every wall will fall to the ground. By the way, if every wall falls, that was my point. If the walls of Jerusalem fall, if the Dome of the Rock comes down, we don't know what's going to happen. Listen, if God clears off that Temple Mount, that's a big problem right now. Once it's cleared off, the Antichrist can negotiate and say, you know what? Let's just divide this up. Radical Islam's not going to be screaming because they just got wiped out in a major battle. Christians aren't going to be saying anything. They're going to be gone. The world's going to say, yes, it's been a problem forever. Let's let them. You give that half to Muslims. You give that half to Jews. And let's all just get along. And now, you know, we're finally getting along type thing. This could all very easily fall into place this way. And notice what he says here. He says, verse 21, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. Now, guys, before we read these last few verses and wrap this up, I've got to share something with you that was so cool that I found out. I had opportunity a while back. I was praying, Lord, let me have spend some extended time in Israel. You know, just, you know, when you pray prayers, God answers them. And I sought God for a long time saying, I'd love to be able to spend an extended time in Israel. Just love it. I want to be there. I want to learn. And God opened up a door for me to spend 5 weeks in a row in Israel, not just a tour, but just to me to go and just really be there. Two of those weeks I got to spend up in the Golan area. And while I was up there in the Golan area, I learned something that I'd never learned. There is a volcano range that runs just north of the Sea of Galilee all the way up to Damascus, which, by the way, Damascus is going to be destroyed as well, guys. Be watching for that. Isaiah 17:1. It's never been destroyed to where it's not inhabited. It's going to be destroyed to where it will never again be inhabited. That could happen at this battle. That could happen before this battle. We don't know, but keep your eye on that as well. But it stretches all the way from northern Sea of Galilee all the way up the coast there to Damascus, that whole northern border where these armies are going to be coming in. Okay? Now, why do I find that interesting? Because I began to look up the kind of volcano. They're called a cinder volcano. or cone volcano, cinder cone volcano, and they're very interesting. There's four different kinds of volcanoes. This particular one, what it does is it releases with such amazing force and power that it shoots the magma straight up into the atmosphere. It goes up so high, so fast, it hits the cold air, turns into these massive boulders, and comes back down in what they call volcanic bombs. And everything around them in that region, as these things hit the ground, they just smash and destroy everything around there. Now, when this is taking place, they also cause clouds and lightning and thunder and rain and hailstones. So when they go off, you have lightning, thunder, rain, hailstones. You got these bombs coming down, these volcanic bombs, these magma. At the same time, they release the fire. They release brimstone, which is the gas. And the brimstone, it says, with these cone volcanoes, comes across the top of the land. And anything in the surrounding region, they don't go real far, but anything in the surrounding region is immediately killed. It's so hot that the gases from that brimstone melts the lungs. It'll kill animals, people, anybody right around it, okay? There's a stretch of them that goes all the way up to Damascus from there. Now, these have been dormant for 1,000 years, right? The only thing that could possibly wake them up would maybe an earthquake. I don't know that that's going to happen. But God said there's going to be a major earthquake that's going to be so huge the world is going to feel it. He said he's going to do this and defeat these armies in such a way that nobody can say man did. It can't be a great military move by Israel. Because they'd say, look what Israel did. It can't be a great military move by America. Look what America did. The whole world's going to be going, oh my goodness. The Jews are going to think they're finished. The rest of the world's going to have their jaws dropped going, what just happened? If those volcanoes broke loose with a great earthquake after 1,000 years on that day, at that very moment, no one could deny that God Almighty was involved. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But let me read you as we finish up 38. You know, we'll move on back into Acts after this. But listen to the description of what God says he's going to use to wipe them out. Look at verse, I'll start in 22 again as we wrap this up. I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him. So something's going to be coming down from the sky on his troops and on the many peoples who were with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations, and then they will know that I am the Lord. Guys, I don't know if it's going to be by these things coming back to life or not, but God is going to do something supernatural, and here's what's going to happen. The whole world's going to recognize there truly is a God of heaven, and he truly is standing with the nation of Israel. And I would say this, it would behoove us to be those who are standing with God and to be standing with the nation of Israel. As we said before, they're not a perfect nation. They make many mistakes. No one's claiming that. And they may make mistakes in this war. That's not the point. God said, I made a promise to them. I'm going to fulfill my promise. And I'm going to have fury against those who stand against them. And that would tell me, wisdom would say, we need to stand with the nation of Israel. So we need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for our nation. I wanted you guys to know what to be watching for so that you're not afraid or concerned when you see these things take place. The world's not going to go up in a nuclear detonation. If you begin to see this war take place and you're watching the news, people are going to start talking about the world's over, nuclear weapons. Relax. That's not going to happen. It's going to be dealt with by God on that border. And then we should be at some point right around there kind of going, any minute. Let's just make sure we're ready. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a short series titled, Why Christians Should Stand with Israel. As you know from current events, Israel is facing yet another assault from enemy countries. This seems to be a pattern in history, unfortunately. Israel has been and continues to be God's chosen nation and people. And it's no surprise that the enemy wants to attack from any direction. We hope that what you've heard today in Pastor Mark's message has sparked interest, concern, and would prompt you to pray for the nation of Israel. Thanks for tuning in today. We'd like to invite you to come visit us in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30, and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's an opportunity to grow in learning and experiencing God more fully. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. If you'd like to listen to any of these teachings again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. For any questions or concerns, you can reach us at 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. That's all we have for today. But thanks for listening to Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.